This episode is sponsored by me, Andy Hill, the host of this show. If you're looking for someone to support you on your family, wealth, and happiness journey, I'm taking on a select number of coaching clients this year. To work with me one-on-one for your family finances, go to marriagekidsandmoney.com/coaching to learn more.
While financial independence is a goal, like, of course, who doesn't want to have the option of never having to work again? That's a lofty, great moon goal, is that there's so many amazing places to reach while getting there. And that's what I want people to be excited about, is that I haven't reached complete financial independence because I want to live a certain lifestyle. And even though I'm not financially independent, I have so much more freedom than I did 6 years ago.
This show is dedicated to helping you strengthen your family tree and live financially free. Welcome to the Marriage, Kids, and Money podcast, everybody. This is Andy Hill, and today we're talking about how to enjoy your financial independence journey. Now, when I discovered the FIRE movement, I got pretty geeked about it, I'll tell you. I found a community with like-minded friends who didn't mind saving 50% or more of their income so that they could eventually leave their soul-sucking jobs and enjoy more life before traditional retirement age. But that hard-charging FIRE path of saving most of what you make isn't the easiest path for a lot of people out there, especially for those of us not making a multi-six-figure household income. So how can we pursue a life of financial independence and not feel like we're depriving ourselves too much today? Well, to help us discover our own enjoyable and unique path to financial independence, I've invited one of my original like-minded FIRE friends, Jamila Souffrant, back on the show today. Jamila is the author of Your Journey to Financial Freedom, a step-by-step guide to achieving wealth and happiness. And she's the host of the popular Journey to Launch podcast. That podcast has over 4 million downloads and was listed by the New York Times as a podcast to help you get better with your money. When she's not helping people on their journey to financial freedom, Jamila enjoys spending time with her husband and her 3 kids in Brooklyn, New York. Welcome back to the show, Jamila.
Thanks so much for having me, Andy.
Well, it's good to hear your voice and good to see you virtually here, at least. You know, we haven't talked on my podcast, and we've talked on your podcast recently, but on this podcast since 2018, that's like 6 years.
Oh,
it's
my gosh.
Pretty wild.
Yeah.
Pretty wild to think about. Now, when we talked 6 years ago, you and your husband were saving $85,000 per year consistently during this period of time. Can you remind people or talk to us now about what your motivation was for saving that much?
Yeah, so if we spoke in 2018, that I must have maybe had just given birth. So in 18, I gave birth to my third child. And my motivation for first wanting to pursue financial independence and save and invest all that money you talked about just now was because I wanted to quit my job. I had a long commute from Brooklyn to New Jersey, a very demanding career, and then I had 3 kids at this point. And so the plan was already set in motion before I had my third child. But I like to say each child, when I got pregnant with them, prompted me further into my journey. And so really my pursuit of financial independence was to attain the freedom that I essentially have now, which is more time and energy autonomy, where I can decide what I do instead of being in a car, in a commute, answering to a boss. Now I just answer to myself, which is still not fun because I still don't want to work, but at least it's on my own terms.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, since knowing each other for a while, we have similar stories, similar backgrounds, and similar feelings about a lot of that. Now, can you talk to us about, just so people understand, because that's a lot of money to save during a period of time there. What was your general like household income range during that period of time in your life?
Well, we definitely, so I had a 6-figure job with bonuses. I worked in corporate America, so definitely 6 figures. And my husband actually is a teacher in New York City and also earned 6 figures. So we had a healthy income as a 2-parent household. So I always like to bring that up, that in order for us to save, which $169,000 in 2 years, that was a function of our income and our discipline in hitting those goals that we set for ourselves.
Based on that, did you guys have any difficulty during this period of time? Because that's like, whatever, 50% or close to 50% of your income that's coming in after taxes and everything like that. Was that difficult for you and your husband to do? Did it feel like a stretch?
It was a change from what we were doing before. We definitely reeled in our expenses. At the time, we both had more expensive cars. He had a very expensive lease. I owned my car, but the maintenance on it was very expensive, especially at the time driving from Brooklyn to New Jersey. And so we cut all that out and got a budget together. And, you know, the pain and discomfort of having the commute, which was an hour and a half one way, and working at this job I just didn't love, was more uncomfortable than saving and investing the money we needed to get out of the situation I was in. And so it was worth it. It was uncomfortable, but it was worth it. But also, we did have the income to help support that. We did have to make some small term changes. And I talk about this in my book. It depends on the season you're in. So at that time, we made those sacrifices. You ask me today if we could do that? I don't think so, based on where we are in our life and, you know, the season of life we're in.
Putting forth that much savings and investing can produce some fruit for you, essentially. So what did this practice of saving and investing, what did that allow you to do eventually? I know you own your own business. Talk to us about where you are today because of these savings practices you've put in place.
Right. So I first started Journey to Launch to document what I was doing because I wanted to reach financial independence and quit my job, our version of financial independence, and quit my job by 40 years old. And so I officially started the blog in 2016 and the podcast in 2017. And that's when I aggressively started to save with my husband. And so over the course of the 2 years, that's where we saved $169,000. But when we realized we were pregnant with my third, the plan switched from, and we readjusted to say, well, what if we could achieve more freedom earlier, have an income cut if I'm able to quit my job, but achieve freedom quicker by switching our investing strategy? So instead of putting all our money into investment accounts, what if we save up this FU fund and high yield savings account to help cover what I knew I would be doing, which was quitting my job? And for me to leave my job, that's cutting off more than half our income. And so what do we need to be secure over the next year or two while I figure out this business, but still now have three kids at this point to raise and what that looks like? So starting the journey, even though I didn't reach financial independence when I quit my job, it allowed me to take the risk of leaving my job because I knew I had this safety net of money to help support us and the family as I made this transition. But also what we did was we reached Coast FI. So Coast FI, the ability to not have to invest ever again, because on autopilot, our investments will accumulate over time. And so all that made us feel comfortable that I would walk away and try an entrepreneurship, which I'm still trying out.
You used that money as a FU money bridge, like a bridge from where you were with a job you didn't like to a path of entrepreneurship that you do enjoy, even though it can be rocky at times, as both you and I can admit. Now, when did the light switch flip in your brain being like, okay, this is better available for me as liquid cash as opposed to invested in like a taxable brokerage account for me to hit this, you know, fire number? When did that happen for you?
You know, I think when I realized that quitting my job was possible, and then because we have responsibilities, we own our home and then we have three kids, we had to make sure we had to at least be able to pay for our expenses. And so I thought, what does a more balanced approach to financial independence look like? Whereas the beginning of the journey, it was really all about saving and investing and optimizing for numbers and just bearing through it, you know, not being happy. Just like if you were working until retirement, it was almost just, I had the mindset of, I'm making all this money. What if I just stay here for 7 years and focus on the income? We could reach a really great spot into financial independence. But then I realized it wasn't sustainable. So the lifestyle we want to live, living in New York, also realizing it's not just my life. I have a partner who wants to do different things, where we didn't want to feel as constricted. And so we thought about what that life could look like. And if it takes me longer to reach complete financial independence based on our lifestyle, I call it guac levels in the book. If it takes us longer to reach it, but we can enjoy it and I have more freedom, then isn't that the same benefit? Now, of course, it's not like we have all the money we can spend right now, but we're very comfortable. And so knowing that, it almost just became like I couldn't see it any other way. And so even now, as we are making decisions on how much we save and invest, I am always going back and forth, like maybe we should peel back on investing because we do have enough for the future, and I want to be able to comfortably work and live now. So what does that look like? And so there is always that dance and threshold, that conversation that happens. But I realized that I could achieve the freedom without having all the money in the bank because of all the work I did in the past and upfront. And I believe so many other people can achieve more freedom where they are without having completely reached financial independence.
Even though both you and I didn't really enjoy what we were doing for a long period of time, it was almost that grief that we were going through that forced us to want to have that high savings rate. So we're thankful for what we have now, but not very thankful for the position we were in, right?
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing too. It's like a gift and a curse where sometimes I feel like when you're in a position, because I'm more lazy now, I would say, or more, I don't know. I'm not as intense. And I don't know if that's a negative thing. I think, again, it's the season of life I'm in. Back then when I was unhappy, I was so motivated to save and invest. And even with the business, I was like doing all the things because I was searching for a way out. And I think that's the benefit of people who are listening who do feel like they're not happy or that they feel stuck, is that use that as motivation to strive to get yourself out of that situation. And then sometimes when you're comfortable, not that being comfortable is a bad thing, but sometimes, you know, I wake up and I'm like, where's that drive, Jamila? I'm like, I don't have it. I don't have it. And it's not a bad thing, but it's different. It does feel a bit different.
Let's talk a little bit more about your CoSFI like realization. How much did you have saved and invested where you said, man, if I see this keep growing without us putting a lot more in or none in, we're still going to hit a good position for our traditional retirement age?
So I'm not sure at what point I realized like the exact number. I would say based on our current spending habits, which, you know, I looked at our budget that I actually was not paying attention to for a bit the other day. Again, see, I was totally different. When I was working in my corporate job, every day I checked my budget because I like, I need to save that money.
And everything.
Now I'm just like, oh, I mean, as long as and this is, again, not a bad thing, but because we're so comfortable and we're able to hit our goals, we were able to take the reins off a bit. But I was looking at how we were spending currently and I'm like, wow, like we're spending a lot on eating. And our kids are getting older, so they're eating more. And so when I think about how much we need, you know, for that number feels like a lot right now based on our current lifestyle. And I know that, you know, potentially if we stay in New York with our three kids, like that's, to me, I'd feel comfortable spending six figures a year. That would be comfortable. And that's what I call like the higher guac level of expenses. So once even now, when I think about where we're, when I forecast out what we'll have in the future with my husband's pension. So the good thing about him being a teacher is he does have a pension. So all that work is fine in the future, right? That standard retirement age is fine. I think the gap is where we are now till then. And that balance between how do we spend, but like, I don't want to also work, you know, to where I'm overextended, especially because our kids are so young and require so much still, to where there's a balance.
I've lost a little bit of that zest for growing these numbers, you know, tracking my net worth. Are you still tracking your net worth? Is that something that you care about as a financial goal personally?
So, I mean, we definitely, I have an idea of what it is. I work with a financial advisor where we do that check-in every like year, every 6 months. Like, so it's something that we look at and think about. But I'm not, honestly, I'm so much more thinking about how much less I can work and bring in to where we're comfortable, but still hit our financial goals. So I think that's like the dance that we're having now is what's the minimum amount that I need to make where we'd be okay with our current lifestyle level if we are financially okay for the standard age? Like, what do we need to do between now and 55, 60 to bring in so we feel that we're living the lifestyle we like?
Are you looking for someone to walk alongside you on your journey to family financial independence? Well, I would love to help you achieve your goals and help your family thrive. I work with couples, individuals, and families all around the U.S. via video chat and can assist in the following areas: becoming debt-free, growing your net worth, crafting and sticking to your budget, reviewing CoSFI plans, developing strategies to build generational wealth for your kids, and designing your future work optional lifestyle. Doesn't that sound nice? If you're interested in working with me one-on-one, you can book a time with me by visiting marriagekidsandmoney.com/coaching. I would love to help you strengthen your family tree and live financially free. Visit marriagekidsandmoney.com/coaching to learn more, or you can click the link in our show description. If you're looking to improve your financial situation, it helps when you're able to cut out unnecessary costs,
Cell phone services are a necessity for sure, but we don't need to be overpaying for them, right? That's why I like Telo Mobile, a phone service worth talking about. We've been fully on board as a family with Telo for over 2 years now, and we are so happy that we made the switch. For us, the reception and data service is better than Verizon, and our costs were nearly cut in half. Telo runs on the T-Mobile network, and it's wowing new customers like us with their rock-bottom prices and stellar service. With over 10,000 reviews, Telo is rated as excellent on Trustpilot, and this is quite rare in the wireless world. Nicole and I went for the unlimited data, minutes, and texting plan for only $25 per month each. Isn't that crazy? You heard that right. $25 is their most expensive plan, actually. And Telo is running a special offer for MKM listeners right now. Check out Telo today at marriagekidsandmoney.com/Telo. That's marriagekidsandmoney.com/Telo. And use the code MKM20 to get 20% off on your first month of service for any Telo plan above that $10 per month mark. Again, use MKM20 to get 20% off at marriagekidsandmoney.com/Telo, and you'll be supporting this show. Hurry up. The code is valid until April 19th, 2024. marriagekidsandmoney.com/Telo. Your goals over time shifted from numbers focused to maybe how much time am I actually working, or how much life enjoyment am I having? Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Especially again, because the kids, I think obviously our life would look different without kids, but just like this morning, you know, my daughter had a presentation at her school, and last minute they asked me to go and do it. And so that's the kind of stuff where I'm thinking like, this is the exact reason why I wanted the freedom that I have now. And so how do I maintain that and keep that to where it feels comfortable, but enjoyable? And I think so many people want that and are trying to find that balance, which is why I write about it in the book.
Absolutely. Yeah. You probably wouldn't been able to accept that on your hour and a half commute out to New Jersey, right?
No.
I love it. Well, one part of your book I was very inspired by. I loved hearing the story about your mom. I think that's just amazing. Could you share a little bit about her story and how she made it to the U.S. and how things unfolded from there?
Yeah. So I was raised by a single mom, and I was born in Jamaica, the island, not the borough. And she was Jamaican, obviously, too. And so she was very young when she had me. She was 20 years old, but she got the opportunity. Her father came and, you know, said, hey, your papers came through, because he had filed papers for her, not knowing about me at all. I wasn't even in the picture. And so when he came to say, hey, your papers came through, so you can go to the United States, to New York, because he had family there, and he sees me, because he had no idea. He was just like, well, I don't have papers for her. So you have to make a decision if you want to go or not. And I think he gave her like a week to make that decision. And so she made the very difficult decision to leave me behind in Jamaica with my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, to go to United States, New York, for the first time at 20 years old with barely nothing in her pocket, but she did have family there. And so she was able to start out very humbly working in fast food restaurants and understanding that education was going to be her way up in this world. And back then they didn't have the internet. She had to look at yellow pages. And again, I can't imagine what it must have been like for her, but she was very determined because she wanted to make sure she could provide for me back in Jamaica and send for me, meaning bring me up and be able to provide for me. And so she really worked hard, eventually got her associates and bachelor's. I was able to join her a few months later, and I imprinted. I always say I feel like she imprinted on me the value of hard work and education and saving. So that's one thing that my mom and grandmother did very well, is that they managed their money because they didn't have a lot of it. And she did her best as a mom, even though we didn't have a lot of material things, to pour love and confidence in me, which is probably what a lot of people see now and why I was able to do a lot of things that I've done. And so with that, I've just always carried that with me. And because of her confidence and love in me, I think that provided me with the inner wealth and confidence to pursue the things that I'm pursuing now. And I would say that her start and her humble beginnings was a launch pad for me to then kind of take that torch that she gave me to do more and what I'm doing now in my life.
You are a mother of three. What's your hope for your children with regards to their financial independence journey?
Yeah, you know, I think, as you know, Andy, because you also are a dad, that raising kids, I think it's so interesting now being in the position that my husband and I are in, that we have more to provide for them and do for them, realizing that we didn't have as much materially, but we're raised with like a lot of love, is that how do you instill, like, the way I am now is because I had to work for the things I have, and I didn't have it all. I had to figure it out, just like my husband. And so now that we have more, and the goal is to have more so you can give your kids more, is how do you still instill in them drive and being just like, just good humans, right? And so I think that's what we're really focused on, is how do we raise them to respect that it takes work, not to overwork themselves, but to work hard and things take effort, and to be able to manage their money. Like, you know, if we make all these millions and have these this money to give them, what happens to that if they don't know how to take care of it? Because we just gave them everything and life wasn't hard. And so that's that kind of balance I feel like we're figuring out. They're only 9, 7, and 5. It's a conscious effort, I think, for both of us to figure that out.
I liken it to if somebody said, hey, Andy, go out, your car is broken and I need you to just go ahead and fix that. I don't have any of the tools. I don't have any of the know-how. Right. It's like, I've been given a car, you know, like it's being able to, you know, yes, give the gifts to your children of the financial benefit, but you gotta teach them up. You gotta show them how to use it. Otherwise, they're not going to know how to use it, right?
Right.
Let's shift gears to the FIRE movement, because I would say that you are one of the leaders in the FIRE movement. I've followed your journey for a long time. You and I have known each other for a long time as friends. Where do you think, I guess, the FIRE movement gets things wrong?
Well, it's so interesting because I do feel a bit disconnected from the community. Again, I was so much more involved. I guess I had more time to look at all the blogs and the podcasts back in the day that talked about financial independence. But I definitely notice, especially, you know, a few years back, I think the space has gotten much more diverse. You know, I think there's a lot more conversation on like the Fat FIRE movement, which is about, you know, being able to spend more. So not based on just frugality and spending as little as possible, but there's a lot more conversation on, okay, not everyone wants to be frugal. And so what does their journey to financial independence look like? And I think having more conversations and meeting people where there are is important. I know when I first came into the space, what was missing, what I felt was missing, was a perspective from someone like me, you know, a Black woman, you know, who, you know, immigrant, born in Jamaica, with kids, living in New York City, who doesn't mind changing her mind, who doesn't, I don't want to talk numbers all day. I don't want to optimize necessarily down to the penny. You know, I want you to explain things to me in plain common sense terms. You know, I don't like the pretentiousness sometimes that comes along with the way people explain things in some of the financial spaces. And so that's why I started my platform. Like, hey, we're friends. I'm learning, you're learning. Let's learn together on this journey to financial independence. And so if anything, I feel like hopefully that has changed a bit, because there's so many more people with platforms and blogs talking about this stuff. But there definitely is a need to show more and different ways to reach financial independence that are not only about the numbers, but about how you feel on the pathway to that journey.
And I think even what you've described today is kind of crafting your own unique version of financial independence, financial freedom. What do you decide that is? It doesn't have to be this 25X exactly idea, right?
Right. Or all or nothing. I feel like at first when I came in, it just felt, and this is, you know, for me, because a lot of people that I did follow at the time was, they, you know, talked about spending as little as possible. And I think all of these things are tools. Frugality, depending on I talk about 5 journey or stages in the book that you go through to reach financial independence. And so I think at certain stages, having the tool of frugality and spending less is going to be important if you're in debt and you're not earning a lot and you have to like get out of that. And then as you get a little bit, you know, more further into the journey or you're in a stable place, you can let up on that, right? So I think it's a powerful tool to have in your toolbox, but it's not the only tool. I think income like is a big part of why a lot of people reach financial independence or close to that. And so there's this idea of, you know, maybe, you know, everyone can do this. And while I'm a proponent that most people can reach a better place, is that let's be real with the starting point for a lot of people. And so some people are not even earning enough, you know, earning a livable wage, or they're not concerned. Like, we are in the fact that we're even talking about this is a privilege. Like, there are some people who, like my mom And my husband's mom didn't have the privilege to think about the things that we're talking about. They just had to work. They had to figure it out. And so I think understanding that and not necessarily coming from a place of shame and blame and, you know, you need to do this and everyone can do it, but more of encouragement, which is what the approach I take, is that I do think a lot of people can get to a better place. I can understand why a lot of people, when they hear about the concept, are just like, really? Like, that's impossible. But I think if we can show different people and different situations, and while financial independence is a goal, like, of course, who doesn't want to have the option of never having to work again? That's a lofty, great moon goal, is that there's so many amazing places to reach while getting there. And that's what I want people to be excited about, is that I haven't reached complete financial independence because I want to live a certain lifestyle. And even though I'm not financially independent, I have so much more freedom than I did 6 years ago. I couldn't even like imagine, you know? And so I just feel like a lot of people can at least get to this point of having more freedom just by starting the journey, just by who it turns you into because of what you need to do.
Now, somebody's listening and they are ready to start their journey to financial independence. What is one small takeaway that they could take following this interview to help them pursue that path?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There's so many. But I would say, I would say that I think income, you know, everyone kind of understands that, you know, for the most part, you need to earn as much as you can, you know, reasonably. So income is important. Expenses are important. So how much you spend in relative to that is important, right? And I think what happens for most people is they know those things. Like, okay, yes, you need to earn as much or earn more, you need to spend less, but they're not doing it or they can't do it. And there are legitimate reasons why maybe in the season of their life, they cannot do those things at the moment. I think the intangible things that are not talked about as much and I talk about is your mindset and habits and how they allow for you to even feel like you can start this journey or feel confident when maybe there's no one in your family that has done it. You have no family and friends that talk about it, but like how you feel about yourself, the habits that accumulate, just like your investment accounts to help you reach the goals you want. Those are very important. And so, yes, you need to earn more. Yes, you need to spend less. Yes, you need to invest and pay down debt, all the tangible things. But I think it really starts from within about how you feel about yourself. And you have to first feel like there's hope and that you can. And so to get to a place, and however that is, you know, for me, that was learning about and listening to podcasts, reading blogs, trying to be more positive about my life, made me believe that this was doable. And so I would say for someone listening is to think about whatever mindset like that you have and what's serving you, what's maybe not serving you. Maybe that, you know, maybe you need therapy. We all, I think, need therapy around certain things. And it's not always based in money, right? Like sometimes like the way we just interact with the world is, and how it impacts our money is outside of that, right? It's just general therapy or general, just what makes us feel good. And how can we lean more into that in order for us to be, have more energy and be happier so that we can even try some of the things that we talk about on our platforms.
Throughout the process, as Jamila has demonstrated, you're going to find different levels and your mindset will change and what your version of happiness might change throughout the process as well. So she's talking about this all in her fantastic new book, Your Journey to Financial Freedom, or on your podcast, Journey to Launch. Where should they go to connect with these great resources you have out there, Jamila?
Yes. So my book is available everywhere, even in airports, but you can go to yourjourneytofinancialfreedom.com to find all the places to buy it, Amazon, Target, bookshop.org. Also, you can check out my podcast wherever you listen to this amazing podcast, Journey to Launch. And then I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as Journey to Launch.
Excellent. Jamila, thank you so much for your time today. Yes, I was walking through Target with my kids the other day, picked up Jamila's book, took a picture of it. I'm gonna post that on my Instagram right after this. Jamila, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Andy, for having me back on.
So fun to reconnect with a longtime friend and share her story and her new book. Here are my top three takeaways from my conversation with Jamila Souffrant. Number one, your kids are watching. Jamila grew up watching her mother work hard for a better life. Coming to America with no money, no connections, and working your way up can be massively difficult. Her mother gave Jamila an example to look up to. Jamila has taken that drive and determination, honored her mother, and strengthened her family tree for generations to come. Number two, having something to move away from can be motivating. A bad job, a bad relationship, a bad health diagnosis, these are all bad, yes. But
They can give you drive and motivation to improve your situation. Jamila was so motivated to do something other than her job that she and her husband saved $160,000 in 2 years. Talk about a positive result from a bad situation, right? Number three, FU money can give you wings. Jamila found strength both financially and emotionally when she had a big pile of money to fall back on. There's some major power in FU money. If you're looking to make a change, like go from full-time employee to a stay-at-home parent or full-time employee to an entrepreneur, having money in the bank gives you confidence. I know I felt the same way. Our big pile of money in the bank gave my wife and I the confidence to transition from full-time work that we didn't enjoy to part-time work that we do enjoy. Now, if you're thinking of transitioning to something new, give FU money a try. And those are my top three takeaways, everyone. I'd love to hear from you on what yours were. Please hit me up on social media at Marriage Kids and Money on Instagram and Facebook, or at Andy Hill MKM on LinkedIn. Let's keep this conversation going. As a quick reminder, this show is for entertainment purposes only, my friends. Be sure to seek out a professional for your specific situation. A big thanks to Dan Tabbitt for editing our show today, and to Mandy Burt for her stellar writing on our blog, Nev Mirage for her podcast support, and Weird Digital Marketing for their social media expertise. You think that Andy does all this stuff? No way, man. I need all these great folks to help me bring it all together, and I am so thankful to have them as a part of this crew. Thank you so much. All right, if you want to connect with some like-minded people who are on a mission to improve their family's finances, well, you should join us in our Thriving Families Facebook group. This is a free Facebook group focused on helping families thrive. Every so often, I ask people to share some family wins they've had. Recently, group member Carla Lynn shared this family financial win with us. She said, "Last month, we finished paying off all of our student loans." Whoa, that is such a huge win, Carla Lynn. That's so cool. I am so happy that you were able to share this with us in our group. She got all sorts of likes and hearts and people congratulating her, which is great. Now, getting rid of your student loan debt forever is such a relief. It opens you up to enjoy much more of your money now and use it to build the wealthy life that you want to live. And we talked a lot about that with Jamila today. It's very unprescriptive of what your wealthy life needs to be. She's going to do her way. Carla Lynn's going to do her way. You know, our family's going to do our way. It's fantastic. Now, Carla Lynn, please keep this good news coming. Share the next step in your journey or share where you're going. We would love to hear more from you. We can't wait to celebrate your next financial win. Can I get a round of applause for our friend Carla Lynn for sharing with us? All right. Thank you very much, Carla Lynn. If you're looking to make some connections with like-minded families and get inspired by their goals and their wins and their plans for the future, please check out our free Thriving Families Facebook community. You can go to marriagekidsandmoney.com/community. That's marriagekidsandmoney.com/community. I hope to see you there. In the spirit of growth and inspiration, I'm going to end the show with a quote today from Carol Edwards. If you have no goal, no plan, no objective, you will be wandering in the wilderness. You have to develop a roadmap of where you want to go. It doesn't have to be a 5-year plan. It doesn't have to be a 2-year plan. It doesn't even have to be a 1-year plan. Just have a plan. Let's all get inspired to make our plan today, everyone. Carpe diem.